Welcome to the Bethany Hour with Pastor Richard Adams and Pastor Tim Reed. Join us as we look into the book of Luke.
At times, it seems like I am sinking under the mountain of life with no escape inside, but
welcome to this edition of the Bethany Hour. Thank you for joining with us as we look to Scripture for help and direction as we follow Jesus Christ. Pastor Adams will return in just a moment. Bethany Assembly of God is located in Agawam, Massachusetts, at the corner of Main Street and Route 57. Our Sunday services are at 9 a.m. for our traditional service and 11 a.m. for our contemporary service. Our midweek service on Wednesday includes programs and services for all age groups. Log on to our website at bethany-ag.org for more information about these and other services.
Welcome to the Bethany Hour, Pastor Adams and Pastor Reed. We're in the book of Luke. We have been reading about the death of Jesus, and those of you who have been following along, you who have received Christ into your life, you're alive and happy, and the death of Jesus means so much to you. The others of you, you just think it's a bloody mess, and you don't even know what's going on with it. But we encourage you, listen to this Bible teaching you're going to get today, and turn towards the Lord, because He died for you.
Yeah, it's an amazing story. You know, throughout Scripture, other writers said that we're dead in our transgressions and sins. We're dead. We're living dead men.
That's what we are.
But when we come into a relationship with Jesus Christ,
boom,
and when we clothe ourselves in His death, we become alive.
That's really kind of a paradox.
It is a paradox, but it's amazing. Yeah.
So here we are. Jesus has just been crucified, and Joseph of Arimathea took His body down, wrapped it in a cloth, and put it inside of a rock tomb that no one had ever used before. And we're in chapter 23, verse number 54, where it was preparation day. In other words, everybody's getting ready for the Sabbath, because the Sabbath is just about to begin. See, the Sabbath begins when the sun goes down. Their day began when the sun went down. Kind of different than ours, because the day began in darkness, but it ends in the light. That part. The Jewish day ends in the light. Ours, we started in the light, we end in the day.
Yeah.
We start in the day, we end in the darkness. It doesn't quite work so well as far as a good analogy for what God has in store for us. But they actually began the Sabbath when the sun went down. And so they're preparing for it, because you can't do any work on the Sabbath. You can't do a whole lot of things on the Sabbath. So they're getting ready. And so they want to bury Jesus. They want to put Him in the ground before the Sabbath, because they have to do it before the sun goes down. Otherwise, they're not supposed to work. I wonder what they do. Wonder they just let them hanging around then, though.
Yeah.
I don't know. You know, but even today, when a Jewish person dies, they want them in the ground in a day.
As quickly as they can get in there. 24 hours,
they got them in.
Moving. Yeah.
So the women who had come with Jesus from Galilee followed Joseph, and they saw the tomb and how His body was laid in it. So these women who we read before, when we looked at it last week, we saw that these women had watched Jesus be crucified. They'd followed Him from Galilee. Now here they are again, and they see what Joseph of Arimathea is doing, and they see him taking the body of Jesus. Of course, they probably wonder what he's doing. They may have even asked them about it, but he had to go to ask for the body from Pilate, because he wanted to make sure he got Jesus into the ground. And I think Pilate in one other scripture says he's dead already. I mean, you already got him, you know?
Yeah, what's going on with that?
Yeah, how come? So he agreed, and so the women now are following Joseph of Arimathea, and they watch where they put him.
Yeah.
And see, now that's pretty interesting, because I would imagine that they themselves are probably going to come back after the Sabbath to make sure everything is okay, make sure he's taken care of. But I think they even bring some spices, it says, and then they went home and they prepared spices and perfume. But they rested on the Sabbath in observance to the commandment.
Yeah.
So they can't come and do anything. Whatever was done, Joseph of Arimathea did it, wrapped him in this cloth, and put him in a tomb, and the ladies know right where he is now.
Yeah. But, you know, the interesting thing is we go back to what Luke said. He was a member of the council. Of what council? Well, the council of the Jewish leaders, the Pharisees, the Sadducees. He was one of the guys who, you know, in their minds, crucified Jesus.
Yeah.
These are the ones that came and arrested him. These are the ones that, you know, were always questioning him. So I'm sure in the back of their heads, they're like seeing this guy come, get the body of Jesus, and they're a little nervous going, what's this guy going to do to
him? Boom.
But they watch him. They watch him wrap him up in the cloth. They watch him lay him in this tomb, and then they watch him leave. And they couldn't do anything because of the Sabbath, and so they honor the Sabbath day.
They do.
And they're waiting. They're just waiting, wondering what's going to happen now.
Now, the Bible doesn't tell us, but Joseph of Arimathea, you know, I'm thinking he could have been somebody like Cornelius. He could have been a believer, you know? I mean, obviously, he didn't like what the council was doing to Jesus, and so maybe he was a secret believer.
Yeah.
And who knows? He may have met with Jesus and with some of these ladies at one time or another, so they may have had some kind of a relationship.
Yep.
But anyway, they're still concerned, like you mentioned. They're concerned about what's happening to the body of their Lord and their very concerned about it. And so they're preparing the spices because they want to do something after the Sabbath's over. So then we're in chapter 24 now, and we're going to talk about the resurrection. It says, on the first day of the week. Now I see, now we worship the Lord on Sunday, which is Sabbath begins on the Saturday evening.
Right.
So here now we are on the first day of the week on Sunday, the first day of the week, because that's the day Jesus rose from the dead. We celebrate that.
Right.
So on the first day of the week, very early in the morning, the women took the spices they had prepared and they went to the tomb. And I did say that was Saturday, but really it's Friday evening. They start
Friday night into Saturday.
Friday night
is the
Saturday.
Sabbath, right?
That's
okay.
The Sabbath.
Yep.
Yeah, we got to get that straight. But here now, they're preparing. They're going to the tomb because they want to put spices on the body of Jesus. And I suppose that's, you know, the Egyptians used spices, but I think it probably was to keep the smell down more.
Yeah, I don't think they really started embalming people.
No, they didn't embalm, but they used spices.
Yeah, you know, the Egyptians, I think, used to.
Embalm.
So but for the most people, yeah, they'd probably wrap them up in the spices.
And they found a stone that had been rolled away from the tomb. Well, what happened to that? Because that's a big stone.
Yeah.
They found that stone was gone.
It was rolled. It was moved.
Huh. It's very interesting because when you travel through Israel, you'll be driving in a bus and you'll go by this tomb, and there's a tomb there, and there's a big stone that rolls. And they're all over the place.
Wow.
I mean, when you're driving in Israel, if you're up in the mountain areas, that's where they are, right outside of Jerusalem. Mm-hmm. There are just all these tombs. They were just everywhere. And I would imagine if you dug a lot, you'd probably find a lot more.
Oh, I bet. I bet, yeah.
So, you know, this was the way they used to do it. They used to take a tomb and put a stone in front of it.
Yep.
And big roll it.
And it was sealed. I think in one of the other writers, I don't think Luke said, they seal it. So it was sealed so that in case anybody came to steal the body or to do anything, they would have to break the seal. There were guards that were set there.
Yeah,
Some of the other books talk about the guards that were there. So when the women went,
there's nothing
very
there.
Early in the morning, they're like, what's going on?
No seal, no guards, no anybody.
No, nothing.
Yeah, and so what happens then is when they entered in, they did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. They got all these spices with them and everything,
right.
And they're looking for the body. Where is it? It's gone.
Yeah.
While they stood wondering about this, suddenly two men in clothes that gleamed. Now, we know that these are angels because it gleamed like lightning, it says, stood beside them. And in their fright, the women bowed down their faces to the ground. But the men said to them, "Why do you look for the living among the dead?"
That's one of the greatest questions in all humanity right there.
Why do you look for the living among the dead?
This is just great because they're thinking, we saw him die. He's dead. What are you talking about?
How can he be alive?
Yeah. And so this moment right here, this moment in time that's captured for us in the Gospels is the turning point for humanity.
It is.
The turning point for our spiritual life, for our eternal destiny. This moment right here, Jesus comes back to life.
Yeah.
And if this didn't happen, Paul said, if Jesus is not raised from the dead, our faith is worthless. But this moment really happened.
B.C., A.D.
Yeah.
There it is, right here. Here we find that it's a turning point. It changed history. It changed everything. And so while they're wondering, these men with these gleaming lightning type of body stand there. And all of a sudden, why do you look for the living among the dead? That's the first time the gospel's preached.
That's it.
There it is right there. He's not here. He has risen. Now, I wonder how they took that right away.
Yeah.
He's risen. Well, what does that mean? Did he come back from, didn't really die? What does that mean?
Yeah.
He's risen.
He's risen.
And then he says, remember how he told you while he was still with you in Galilee? The Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men, be crucified, and on the third day be raised again? Now here, that really is the first time the gospel's really preached an angel.
That's it.
There it is right there.
You know, the angels declare his birth.
Mm. There
the
you go.
Declare his resurrection.
Bingo.
It's awesome.
It's amazing.
Yeah.
We think we got a handle on this, but the angels are the ones that did it.
Yeah.
And then it says the girls remembered his words. Sometimes that's the way it is when God speaks a word to your life or when you get a Holy Spirit that speaks to you, then all of a sudden you begin to remember, Lord, you spoke to me about that a long time ago.
Yeah.
You've been speaking to me about this. You've been telling me that I need to go to church.
Yeah.
You've been telling me I need to get my life straight. You've been telling me, you've been pointing to me all this time. What's it going to take? Yeah. Maybe somebody to say, hey, you need to remember.
You know, having an angel in gleaming clothes, you know, lightning, you know.
Not like that.
And the voice of an angel speaking. I don't know what an angel sounds like. I'm sure he's got a great
Rawls radio voice
or something. Yeah, you know, something. That would do it for me.
Yeah.
I think that would do it for me, an angel appearing and speaking to me. Yeah, you know. But, you know, I think 9 times out of 10, we don't have this experience that they had. It's by faith, you know, and it's through I'm not discounting the Word of God. The Word of God is living and active and it's powerful. And when you open this Bible and you start reading and you say, God, speak to me through this Word, God, if you're really up there, if you have questions about God, God, if you are really there, if I open your book, speak to me, guess what? He just may do it.
He just might. He just might do it. But, you know, Jesus did say one time, he says, even if somebody rose from the dead, you wouldn't believe him.
Exactly. Yeah.
So you have to have ears to hear.
Yeah.
And you have to remember what God wants to do. Yep. Maybe you have to remember that you're created by God. Maybe you have to remember who your true father is. Yep. You were dust of the earth and God gave you life. Maybe you have to remember where you came from. Yeah. When they came back from the tomb, they told all these things to the 11. These are the 11 disciples.
Right.
And to all others. Now, I like that, to all others, because yep. I never really knew what that really meant, because of how many people were up there. Could have been 120. Could have been a lot of people, but may have been 500. Who knows? But they spread the word.
They hear the gospel, and what's the first thing they go tell somebody else?
Whoa.
I got to tell you about Jesus.
Whoa.
You know, let me tell you what I just witnessed, what I just experienced.
What should we be doing?
Yeah.
What should we be doing?
Telling people that Jesus is alive.
Yeah. So that's what they did. They told them all these things.
Yeah.
And told it to the disciples and told it to Mary Magdalene and Joanna, Mary, the mother of James, and the others that were with them, who told this to the apostles. So the word is spreading.
Yeah.
But they did not believe the women.
You know, sometimes we hear that message, we hear about Jesus. It's 2,000 years later.
Yeah.
What's a Jewish guy got to do with me? What's a Jewish carpenter that gets nailed to a tree between two thieves have anything? I don't believe that shit.
Because their words seemed like nonsense.
Yeah.
Wow.
A guy gets nailed to the cross, and you're telling me that has something to do with me, that I'm a sinner, that I need a Savior? You know, if you think about it in kind of that philosophical, worldly way.
Nonsense.
It's nonsense.
It's nonsense.
Foolishness. It's a stumbling block to the Jews. The Jews look at Jesus and they say, well, he's not the Messiah. We're waiting for another one. He did not free us from Roman Empire. To the philosophers of the world, it's foolishness now. No guy can do that for you. But to those who have ears to hear, eyes to see, who are willing to listen to the Spirit of God, it's like the blinders are taken off.
Yeah.
And that foolishness becomes reality, and it's just, and it lights them up. Like you said, it's like the rising sun, the new morn. A new morning has been birthed in each one of us.
Yeah, but Jesus was the Word of life. He's called the Living Word. And if you think about that, they didn't believe the Word.
No.
So why should they believe the Word of these ladies?
Yeah.
It's interesting that Jesus chooses the preaching of the Word for people to believe. There's something that's powerful in the Word that you speak, the Word that you believe, the Word that is in your heart. Something that's really powerful about that Word, because the Bible says God created everything by speaking the Word.
Yep.
It's just an amazing correlation between your faith and the Word. The word that is spoken. And some, they didn't hear these women because their word seemed like nonsense. So because they didn't see the word, they couldn't believe. Yeah. And just, that's it. They just had no faith at all.
Some of it could have been their cultural upbringing too, when, you know, women are coming and talking like
that's
this.
That's true.
You know, there was a little bit of a, you know, challenge there in the Jewish culture.
It wasn't Peter.
Women, you know, it came from angels.
Yeah.
To women, and then from women to the disciples. And so, there, you know, a lot of people talk about this book being misogynist, you know, against women. It's not against women. They were one of the first evangelists.
Yeah, well, if it wasn't for a woman, we wouldn't have Jesus.
Exactly, you know. And so it's just amazing to me, if you look at the chronology of how this all unfolded, these women were a vital piece to you and I being saved today, to the gospel message being preached today. They went to the tomb first, not the disciples. They did.
Yeah.
Like you said, sometimes women seem more
sensitive.
Sensitive.
They do.
And so they were the first ones there early in the morning.
However, the next verse really gives Peter a good kind of goal. He says, Peter, however, got up and he ran to the tomb.
Yes.
He ran. He talk about taking a step. He took huge strides to get to the tomb. He's running to the tomb, bending over over, he saw the strips of linen lying by themselves, and he went away wondering to himself what had happened.
Yeah.
Just the shroud there, that's it. Just the strips of linen. And he says, what's happened here?
Yeah. He didn't have an answer. He didn't know. All he knew was, you know, on Friday night, he saw him die.
Hmm.
I'm sure he's still reeling from that emotion. We just celebrated, you know, it's been several days now, 9/11.
Yeah.
You know, and every time you come across 9/11, you think about that moment where you were and the emotional hit that, you know, it struck you with. This is that same kind of stuff, that post-traumatic, you know, I was with him in the garden. I cut off that guy's ear.
Mm.
He healed the ear. And then I saw him hanging on a cross. I mean, there was some trauma that he had gone through. And then he goes to the tomb where he's supposedly buried, and now he's gone. Now what's going on? And he's walking away wondering. I'm sure there was a lot of emotion involved in that moment right there.
Yeah, and of course, again, once again, they didn't believe the women's word, because the women who had came said that, hey, listen, he's risen because the angels told me, these men told me that he had risen from the dead. But yet, they're not going to believe that. Oh. So Peter, he sees that the body's gone. Jesus gone somewhere. All there's left is the tomb, or is the linen that was wrapped him in. So what happened to him? So he's not sure. He's still not believing. And then Luke is going to take us now to another situation.
Yeah.
And we're going to talk about that next week as we come in here, and we're going to talk about the men on the road to Emmaus. But right now, we're talking about the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ and how you have to believe in your heart. You have to hear the words that are spoken to you. They're given to men. They're given to angels to bring the gospel message to you. But you have to believe in your heart.
Yeah, that's one of the things that Paul says. To be saved, you must believe that God raised Jesus from the dead. You must believe it and confess with your mouth that he's Lord.
And he sends people, he calls them and sends them to prepare hearts so that they can find Christ. And that's what we're doing here in this radio program. Amen. Maybe you wonder what's going on. That's what we're doing. Pastor Adams and Pastor Reed, we hope that you're a believer and that you find Christ if you're not. God bless you.